Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
This week, we're featuring Vermont's signature cocktail, the Old Vermont, a cocktail recipe that we found on Food Network from Bobby Flay. It is a cocktail that mixes all of our favorites, gin, orange juice, bitters, and of course, maple syrup. To make the Old Vermont, you'll need 1.5 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce of Grade B pure maple syrup, 1/4 ounce of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 2 dashes of bitters, ice, and an orange rind. Combine the gin, maple syrup, lemon, and orange juice and bitters in a cocktail shaker. Add some ice and shake a few times. Strain the drink into a martini glass and garnish with the orange rind. So grab your Old Vermont cocktail and let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back. We have one of our truly favorite human beings on the show today, not for the first time, but for the second time. Let me give you a little bit of background. You know the memes, one of the most recognizable online symbols of the last decade. Those are the Bernie Sanders mitten memes from Joe Biden's 2021 inauguration. Jen joined us in June 2021, well after the meme frenzy had cooled. And honestly, when we met her, it felt like an old friend was having coffee with us. And that is how people, including her publisher, describe her. Jen Ellis was a teacher and crafter when the mittens she sewed for Senator Bernie Sanders became the inspiration for millions of memes, which again, I'm sure all of you have seen and shared. Originally from South Portland, Maine, Ellis's teaching career spanned nearly 2 decades in the public schools of North Carolina and Vermont. She is, and I didn't know some of these things, a songwriter, a beekeeper, and she still sews the occasional pair of mittens for local nonprofit fundraisers. She is currently and over the last year pursuing a master's degree in counseling from the University of Vermont, and this is her debut publication. Ellis lives in Vermont with her wife and daughter, and she wrote this book to share the story of her life, which is honestly truly inspiring. I did cry several times reading the book, and to share what happened after she became, well, internet famous. She is here today to talk about the book and to catch up with some old friends. Jen, welcome back to Sip With Me.
Thank you so much for having me back. This is honestly my favorite podcast.
Stop. Okay, that is I just got chills. It's the best soundbite we've ever gotten from anybody. So we talked back in 2021, so almost 2 years ago. I remember we were like amateurs, like who knows what the quality of the episode was like. I was in a hotel in like rural South Dakota or something, and it was just the Wi-Fi was a mess. Yeah. But you were just so like warm and receptive and positive right from the get-go. And I think like, I don't know about you, Ioana, but that to me is like the essence of like what Jen Ellis is and like why it's like, okay, like the whole mittens thing, the whole memes, like, to me, there's deeper meaning behind it all. It's not about the mittens. It's not about the memes. It's about like the act of gifting the mittens with an unintentional outcome that came. So you're just really inspiring. And we're so excited you came back and that you wrote a book and mm-hmm. a really good book at that. So just to start off, tell us a little bit about the book and kind of like, how did it come to be that you decided to put your story to paper?
Well, after the inauguration, I was so stressed out. I mean, everyone was trying to contact me, news outlets, people wanted to start businesses with me. Everyone wanted mittens. They wanted mm-hmm. I was teaching and trying to get my report cards done and my daughter, you know, like I just had so much going on. I was so stressed out. I couldn't sleep. And so at night, after we put our daughter to bed and sometimes after my partner went to bed, I would just sit down and write because I had to like empty this stuff out of my brain because the stuff that was happening was so wacko. I mean, like, I know you've read the book, but it's like people were impersonating me on the internet.
Yes.
Thousands of people were trying to reach out. People were trying to find me in the little rural school on a dirt road where I was teaching. I mean,
yeah, you were getting like mail to the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I felt like a fugitive. I felt like everybody was looking for me and I didn't want to be found, you know? And so I started writing to kind of, you know, empty out my brain. And also because it was so unbelievable. I mean, like being internet famous is beyond your wildest imagination. And there are people out there, you know, influencers and stuff who want to be internet famous. But I didn't want that. And so, yeah, at first it was like a coping mechanism, but then it, you know, it turned out I had a lot of stories to tell, you know? And so the first half of the book is really, I was like, how did I get here? You know? And so I went way back into my childhood and I talked about learning how to sew and why it was so important to me. And I talked about crafting and the role that crafting has played in my life, which, you know, I guess it hadn't necessarily occurred to me, but my pattern is like anytime the shit goes down, whoops, can I say shit on your podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anytime the shit goes down, I feel like overwhelmed or depressed or grief, you know, I would sit down at this sewing machine and I would make something, usually a quilt. But then I started making mittens with a friend, which was so beautiful because it introduced me to this wonderful tradition of crafting with women. And this friend of mine, Lisa Ann, is a really big part of the book. And she was just such a good friend to me at this time when we were struggling with infertility and we lost a baby. And like, it just like, you know, things got crappy and we made mittens, you know, and the mittens were so cheerful. They were beautiful. They were comfortable. People loved them. It was just, it was like a win every time. And it helped me to pay off my credit card debt. It made it so we could go on some fancier vacations. So it just was such a lovely little side hustle. And so that's what the book is about. You know, it's just the first half of the book talks about my life before the inauguration. And the second half of the book talks about my life after the inauguration. And a lot of it has reflections on teaching, mothering, crafting, and friendship.
Yeah. That's what, when I sat down to read the book, I didn't know that the first half was going to be your life story. And not only just your life story, but truly the depth of your life and the most raw, vulnerable moments. You talk about your experience with IVF and trying to have a child. I was born via IVF. I took 5 years to be born. Very expensive, as you mentioned. Several miscarriages. You talk about your grandma a lot and kind of your relationship with her and when she was passing. My grandma died this year and very similar experience of, you know, going on her last days of life, like going through the objects in her house and her sharing the stories. And, you know, you talked about finishing the blanket and it's not, again, just like the mittens, it's not the object, but it's the memories, it's the love, it's the connection that is behind the objects that we all share. And yes, like it's very deep. And there are real experiences that I think a lot of people out there can connect to. Which is why I did really, truly connect with the book and really liked it, which doesn't happen with every true story that I read. But I'm really curious to know, writing the book, you know, after just a whirlwind of a couple of years for you, I'm sure it was therapeutic, but also you have mentioned sharing the same story, sharing your life story over and over again, and regurgitating the same talking points. It can drain you. How did you ultimately, you know, sit down over time and, you know, decide and be able to share these very vulnerable stories, share these very emotional moments of your life, and put them out there knowing that they were going to be in the public realm for people to read. I think for some people that might be a really positive experience, and for others it might be really hard. For you creating the story?
It was a total mixed bag. I mean, some of the chapters just felt so vindicating to write. And then other chapters were much harder to write. The chapter two, where I talk about child abuse, I wrote that chapter and pretty much put the book down for a year. You know, like it was just so hard to return to it, knowing that that was in the book and that it belonged there, you know?
Yeah.
So that piece of it has been the hardest to reckon with, because, you know, everyone knew that I was gay. Most people knew we lost a baby, you know, but like some of that stuff that was even farther back in my life, a lot of people didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. Now they do. And should. You know what? Like, that's yes. not a secret. It shouldn't be.
It's real.
Yeah.
It is real. And it's an experience that so many people have. And
yeah.
And I have benefited from reading other people's memoirs. And so it's like being able to have a conversation with someone about stuff that doesn't typically come up in polite conversation. So, yeah, I mean, but I had to talk to my parents about what was in the book. And, you know, there's stuff that, you know, I felt like it was important to write this story. But it also meant exposing myself even further. But yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that's not in the book, so I'll hold on to that.
Can't put it all on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So something we've kind of seen throughout the book, and obviously your experiences with the mittens, teaching, your family, kind of a lot of different things that you've done, your charity, they're all connected with the common theme of unintentional good deeds yielding positive outcomes, which is something that we can really relate to and is a big part of our lives, not only as friends, but with our day-to-day actions and things we do in life. Is this a positive mindset, or do you think it's an effect of doing good things for others?
Ooh. That's a good question. I think probably both. I mean, I honestly don't always have a positive mindset. Sometimes I'm just like, life sucks.
Same.
So but, real.
And I do think it's important to just be kind. I think that that's like one of my big, you know, motivations in life, because, when you're unkind, it feels crappy, you know, and when people are unkind to you, it feels crappy. So I do think that it's important to be kind. And when the whole thing happened, it was hard to know what to do. People were like, you could sell these mittens for $1,000 a piece. And I was like, no one should spend that much money on mittens, right? Like, mm-hmm. But unless it's for charity. And so I've always felt like we should look out for other people. And if someone wants to spend $1,000 on mittens for a charity, sure, I'll give you the mittens anytime. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's part of it is altruism. Part of it is, I don't know what it is. I think the world can be such a rough place, mm-hmm. and it's been rough for me. It's been rough for lots of people.
Yeah.
So I think when you're faced with the opportunity to like be selfish or be helpful, it seems like an obvious answer, but not everybody chooses that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a lot of stories in here about kind of moments after going viral where you could have profit gouged, or you could have, you know, manipulated situations or taken advantage for greed and for money and for selfish reasons. And there were always small moments where you kind of had to decide and reinforce your decision of like, okay, there's two paths I could take with this business proposal, or, you know, I'm going to sell the mittens to three charities and, you know, X, Y, and Z, or I could sell a bunch of them and keep all the money for myself and buy lavish things and buy luxury goods. And there's so many like small moments after the meme frenzy where you had to like go to that fork in the road and like make that decision. And ultimately, like, you do follow that path of being like, no, like, I'm going to like, not be selfish. I'm going to use this moment, use this internet fame for good reasons, for positive reasons, and to help others, which is just such a, like, it's such a unique way to approach a situation like this, I feel, where, you know, people do, there's literally people that want to become internet famous, not for, like, to support charities and to support local businesses in Vermont, but to enrich themselves and for notoriety and fame and all those types of things. Can you share kind of a couple moments and scenarios? Because there's so many that are just, some of them are so ridiculous. Some of them are funny. Some of them are like, holy shit, like, what is this? Share just a couple of those like moments that people will be able to read about in the book.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that ultimately I did make a lot of really altruistic choices, but I tried to show in the book that it wasn't easy. Like, those mm-hmm. choices weren't easy because I'm not a perfect person, right? Like, we needed a new car when this happened. Yeah. We needed a new roof. Our roof was leaking. You know, we have a kid who we wanted to put through college.
Yes.
So, you know, there's one part of the book, this was the hard, it was so hard to write about this because it was such a crappy experience, but I gave two pairs of mittens to different nonprofits and I kept one pair of mittens and auctioned them off for my daughter's college fund. And through a series of mishaps and scams, I ended up not being able to sell that pair of mittens and I lost like $7,000 mm-hmm. or something. And I was just so mad at myself because I didn't really know how eBay worked. And I, you know, it was like the one thing I had asked for myself, for our kid, you know, and I felt like I could justify, you know, doing that for our kid. And then I lost it. And I just, oh man, I totally, like, in the book, I talk about just having an epic meltdown. I just like sobbed. You know, yes. And I was sobbing for so many reasons, like losing the money, feeling like a failure, feeling like I messed up, not really knowing what to do, but also completely being exhausted, not having eaten, feeling really stressed out. There were so many reasons, losing all of my privacy, right? So that was a big one, that fork in the road of like, do I keep a pair of mittens and auction it off for my own kid? And then, you know, meanwhile, I was negotiating a contract with the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory to make them mm-hmm. for everyone because I couldn't make them. And so I had hired a lawyer to help negotiate that deal. And I felt like it was really important to make sure that there was some sort of charitable component to that. So in our contract, they agreed to give a percentage of every sale to a nonprofit. But another really tough decision was they wanted to give it to Make-A-Wish Vermont, which is a great mm-hmm. organization. It was an organization that they already were supporting. So it made a lot of sense for them.
Yeah.
I had my friends on the side being like, don't let them give that money to Make-A-Wish. That's what celebrities give their money to. Like, pick a more local charity that like doesn't have such a big overhead and doesn't pay their CEOs like tons of money. Uh-huh. But, you know, I wanted to partner with them. I wanted to be agreeable. I wanted mm-hmm. to make it work. And so we agreed for the first year that it would be Make-A-Wish and then it could be something else. And so after a year, we switched it to Outright Vermont, which, you know, they were so like Make-A-Wish or the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory was so generous about this. And they were just like, absolutely. You know, we told you we would switch after a year. What organization do you want? And Outright Vermont is an organization for queer youth. And I wondered, you know,
yeah.
I'm queer. Obviously, they knew I was gay. So like, I wondered, are they going to support this organization so publicly? And they totally did. Without batting an eyelash, they're like, we have tons of queer employees. We are like a pro-gay organization. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the third year rolled around and I was like, you know, can we just keep supporting Outright? Because I just love them so much. And because we're helping them, not like they have lots of other sources of income, but they've been able to add a second week to their summer camp mm-hmm. and they're continuing on with that. So the money that they get from the mittens specifically goes to the summer camp, which I visited last summer and volunteered in the kitchen. And I could see how amazing and important that camp is to people. Like summer camp is great. Summer camp for queer kids after a pandemic is epic and so needed. It's like life-saving. Mm-hmm. So I just love it that that's where the money goes, and that, you know, I partnered with a Vermont company that supports my, that has a similar vision to me. So yeah, I don't know if that directly answers your questions, but there were a lot of forks in the road where I was just like, what do I do? Who do I partner with? Who do I trust? Yeah. You know?
Yes. That's what I the book kept me captivated because there's so much that happened. So, you know, every couple pages, it is a new story. And even the part where you are telling kind of the whole process of partnering with Vermont Teddy Bear, it's like, okay, like there's the initial, like, we'll get in contact. And then it's like, okay, like they said, yeah, we're so interested, but is it actually going to happen? And then, you know, you want it to roll out in a couple weeks because you want to grab the momentum, but then it's a whole new factory line, essentially, and a whole product line. So it takes several months and you have to write contracts and lawyers are involved, blah, blah, blah. And so it's funny how, like, when we first interviewed you, it was kind of not the surface level, oh, like you're internet famous, memes, etc. Like, tell us the story. There's so much that was going on in the background. And that's what's really fascinating is, like, you read some of the stories in the book and you go, like, wow, like that happened to her. Like, oh, she had to go through that. That was going on. And then the stories, the mini stories start to pile up. And then you're like, wait a minute, this was all going on for one person, for one family in a very short amount of time. Like, this is nuts. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was. I think that's where the book came from, right? Like, the story of my life, you know, lots of people have challenging lives, but then to have like this outrageous thing happen, you know, I think that the internet fame is the hook for all the rest of the stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know too that, like, Bernie had worn the mittens before, mm-hmm. and that they didn't go like viral, mm-hmm. but that they were posted and shared, and people were like, "Where can we get those mittens?" I had no idea that
they were like Vermont famous.
Yeah, they had been seen before in the public realm. Yeah, so funny. Okay, my last formal question for you. I know I've read a couple murmurs and things around about maybe touring or making appearances around the country, perhaps. Any dates, plans, things that you can share, or possible plans for the future?
Yeah, so this next year, I'm taking a year off of grad school. So it says at the end of the book that I did resign from my teaching job, and I this past year, while I was finishing the book, did my first year of grad school to become a therapist. It was at the University of Vermont counseling program. And I decided to take this coming year off to write another book. But this one is going to be fiction. And if you're a publisher, I'm just going to let you know right now, I have not sold it yet. So it's available. not written yet. So... But I'm going to write a second book, and I am available for all book tour dates, and I'm available to visit classrooms and universities and give talks and things like that. So we were discussing how I will be in Ann Arbor, Michigan at some point in the fall, but that date has not been nailed down yet. I will be in Nashville, Tennessee, also in the fall, also has not been nailed down yet, but I have an invitation on the table to go there. And then all the rest of my tour dates are in New England. And, you know, I'll be in Vermont, all over Vermont, Maine, my hometown, Portland. So people, you know, I want to direct people to my website, but it's not exactly up to date yet. But you can find me on Facebook, and I'm Jen Ellis on Facebook. And I, post all of my dates, like, to the public. And I post them on Twitter at VT Awesomeness.
I love the handle.
That's clearly a handle I made before I knew I was going to get famous. And I have a website, berniesmittenmaker.com. Which I intend to update soon, but I have been really busy finishing up with the my semester and the book launch, which was last week on May 2nd. So it's been a busy time. But that is my 100% of my next year will be writing another book and saying yes to everything. You want me to come to Chicago? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is yes. That's my friend saying behind me. The answer is
Oh,
yes.
I love
Yeah.
it. Sweet.
Okay, I think last time, 2 years ago, we did end our episode with rapid fire, if I remember. So we're gonna end this episode with rapid fire again with a new set of questions. So are you ready?
Yes. What is rep? I don't think we did this.
So
You ask me a
basically,
question, I'll give you a one word answer.
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It
Last
doesn't
time
have to
we
be
talked
one
about
word.
one word,
Cocktail
but
I love.
the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Are you ready, Erin?
I'm ready.
Okay, take it away.
Okay. What is your favorite Vermont business?
Vermont Teddy Bear Factory, obviously.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, favorite chapter in the book.
The second to the last one, connecting to the past.
I like it. I didn't want the book to end.
I know.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm excited that there are more books to come. All right. You mentioned a lot of the interviews that you did, but you specifically seem to resonate and be a fan of NPR. You mentioned Ari Shapiro, among others. Do you have a favorite NPR show or podcast that you personally just love to binge?
I love This American Life when I'm not listening to your
Of
podcast.
course. Thank you for wow. That's going to give me
I
the
know that's gonna
positive
take you
high I
through.
need for the rest of
Yeah. Yeah.
the month.
You know, I will tell you that sometimes if I'm feeling like bummed out about life, I call up the podcast interview that I did with you guys and I go for a walk and just like listen to that
Oh my
conversation
God, stop.
because
I'm
it
literally gonna
will
cry. No, I'm
cry.
actually gonna
It
cry.
makes me feel good about life. I'm like, wow, those two are awesome people. Wish they lived closer.
My God, this is like actually a lot.
We needed
And then I'm
this.
like, I wonder how Ioana's wedding did. She never
Oh
sent
my
me
gosh.
a picture, anything. Did Aaron wear a
It's
dress or was he
because
just like in a pink suit? Was he so cute? He was
Oh
cute.
my
He looked
God.
so good. Aaron was in a tuxedo and he looked very
I
good.
bet he looked
Oh
adorable.
my God.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll send you pictures right after this. Oh my
Okay,
God.
favorite thing about Vermont?
Ooh, my favorite thing. I love the seasons. I love spring, summer, fall, even winter.
I thought you were going to say something about that.
No.
But
But
I
I thought.
also love it that I like the politics, I like the people, it's super gay, so am
I
I.
know it has so much going for it. It's like ridiculous that I have not been.
It's totally ridiculous. It's like, you know, you haven't lived.
I am coming to Vermont,
Oh
I
yeah,
think in
you
2 weeks
are.
for a
Yeah.
wedding.
Yeah.
Oh God. Hold on. Let me Google it. I want to make sure I pronounce it right.
Can talk
Only
about
for
it after the
one.
podcast. We will
A
talk.
chit 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 Chittenden.
Chittenden County or Chittenden, Vermont?
I don't know. I'm going to like, I don't know if it's like a ski resort or something. It's somewhere there's like, I'm staying at a cabin. The wedding is
Okay.
there.
Cool. We'll talk.
We'll link. Okay. Is it my turn?
I
Yes.
think so.
Okay. Ayana, this is your question, so you can ask it.
see. Okay. So I have visited Vermont many years ago, but I would like to know what your favorite Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor is.
Coffee, buzz, buzz.
Ooh.
Whoa,
But you can't,
okay.
the problem with it is it's a breakfast ice cream. Because
That's fine.
if
We
you eat
support
it
ice cream
in
for
the
breakfast.
evening, you're awake all night. So
Yeah.
if it's the evening, I'll do
Oh,
like
that's fine.
Heath Bar Crunch or Coffee Toffee Crunch,
Ooh.
but you know, for a breakfast ice cream, which I fully support,
Breakfast
coffee.
ice
I love
cream
that.
with coffee. This Ioana,
That
this
sounds
is
really
like
good.
what have we been doing?
I mean,
Espresso. Okay, let me read the description. Somewhere between the creamy coffee ice cream and the buzz of espresso fudge, it hits you.
Ooh.
You're wide awake and in love. Oh my God.
We need that.
That's so
Yeah,
Jen
to start every day.
Ellis.
Forget Starbucks.
Yeah, like I don't even need my coffee anymore. I'm just gonna keep this. Wow, genius. I see, this is why we love you. These genius ideas. Okay, I'm curious. So one of the stories that I really resonated with, because I did something similar to this in my life, and also kind of just had a breakdown because everything happened at the same moment. Have you used eBay since accidentally canceling the $6,000 auction?
No. No, I actually, you know, when I was fact checking the book, I went back to make sure I had canceled my account, and it was still there. And I was like, I know I canceled that account. So I canceled it again. And just like 2 days ago, I got an email like, are you sure you want to cancel this account?
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'm like, positive.
Yeah, it's like you've canceled your account, but it'll sit in the background for 3 years. And if you want to come back, you can.
I do have a really funny eBay story, though. Do we have time, even though this is rapid fire? Yeah. Okay. Years ago, I was hanging out with friends, playing cards. We were drinking. We were just having a funny night. This was before the inauguration. And we got to on the topic of wisdom teeth and how we had all had our wisdom teeth removed. And I was like, you know, I am so wise that I had 5 wisdom teeth. And they were like, no way. And I was like, seriously, I had 1 wisdom tooth that was a double header.
Oh my gosh.
So I had 5 total. And because I'm joking, I don't mean to be like, I'm so wise, but I do think any ounce of wisdom I ever had is because of all those wisdom teeth. So when I went to have them removed, I didn't know that I had 5. I was like 19, you know, and I really wanted to see what they looked like. So I asked the doctor to take them out whole. Normally they break them and take them out in pieces so that the holes aren't that big in your mouth. They took them out whole. I had enormous holes in my mouth. It was awful. But anyway, so my friends were like, oh, I'd like to see that. And I was like, not only did I have 5 wisdom teeth, but I still have them. So I had them like a little thing up in my room. So I got them out. We put them out on the table. It was so funny. We took pictures of them and they were like, I wonder if you could sell these. And I was like, I bet you could. So we listed them on eBay.
No,
for
you
$100.
What?
Because apparently like dental students will go and buy like wisdom teeth to practice drilling. And so I listed them on eBay for $100 and somebody wrote and they were like, I'll give you 40. And I was like, not worth it. Like,
this is not a best offer scenario.
It's not a negotiation. This is like 5 wisdom teeth. And anyway, I went back and forth with this guy for a little while and he didn't buy them. And then I get this message from eBay that says, we have taken your post down because we do not allow people to sell body parts on eBay.
I was going to ask, is that even legal?
My body parts.
Yeah, not only that, but like 5 wisdom teeth. So like, that's a medical oddity.
Yeah.
But really, it should have been several times that amount of money.
Exactly. I mean, it was such a good deal. It was only $20 a day. But yeah, so you'll have my wisdom teeth. I'll send you a picture.
Yes, please. I would love to see them in person someday. Take a picture with them.
Mm-hmm. We actually put a penny next to them so that you could see how enormous they were. Because they were like the size of them. Huge.
I remember when I got mine out and I had like those like gaping holes where like food could get stuck in. I was like, this is wild.
Yeah. Bad. But you can have ice cream, which is great.
Yeah.
Breakfast ice cream. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Okay. Yeah. So anybody who's trying to find me on eBay, I'm not there. But also, FYI, don't try to sell your body parts.
Yes. No body parts, please.
Okay. If you were going to knit each of us mittens, what color sweaters would you use?
I would not be able to do that because I do not knit.
Really?
I think I read about that.
Shatter your, I don't knit.
Is it sewing?
Yeah, I cut up old sweaters.
Okay.
That somebody else knit.
Oh, yes, duh. I think you read about that.
Yeah, so that's one of the big misconceptions about me, actually, is that I don't knit. I learned once, but then kind of forgot. But I get old wool sweaters that have a moth hole in them or have been put through the wash and shrunk too much. And then I have a pattern and I cut the pieces out and I sew all the pieces together. And then I sew a fleece insert and stick it in.
It's genius.
Sorry.
That's why they're, that's
did
why.
I totally like burst your bubble there? Like,
oh my gosh, no.
No, we're still learning the crafting Europe. Terminology.
I'm really big in Eastern Europe, and somebody wanted to interview me from Russia. And I was like, I don't know if they'll like me because I'm so gay, but also I they're like, well, you know, knitting's really big in Russia. And I was like, but I don't knit. And they're like, that's why they love you, because you do something new with knitting. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
You know, all those people who like sing karaoke, they're like, I'm big in China. And I'm like, I'm big in Eastern Europe.
No, actually though, we have we like very often are like in the top 10 of our category in like Estonia, like
famous in Estonia.
In Eastern Europe. It's like really weird.
Is it the vodka?
Maybe. That would make sense. We've never been
or
able
it's the vodka it. And Jen Ellis. The fact that you were on our show. So now we're just always in their algorithm.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, last question. What is one thing that you did not know going into it about writing a book?
Ooh. I think that one of the snafus with writing this book is, so it's a small independent press. And I guess it never occurred to me, like, paying for books to be printed is really expensive. Mm-hmm. And that's why my press didn't order more books, because it's like they have to front the money.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like now we're in a position of like, do we order another several thousand books and they cost like $4 a piece to print? And where are we going to get that money? So I guess like thinking about like funding is a big thing. And I want to help the press, you know, and I want to help there be more books. And so I think that that's one of the things that I didn't necessarily know, because if you go with a big, like top five, they just take care of everything. And they seem to, you know, they have people who publicize your book, and they have people who, you know, it's all done. Whereas like when you're working with a smaller independent press, you're kind of partnering with them. So I'm doing a lot of the publicity myself. And trying to help find funding to print more books. So that is something I really had, like, it never occurred to me that that would be a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you know any friends with some money, send them my way.
Investors.
We'll print another 1,000 copies of the book.
I love it. Awesome. Well, tell people where they can follow you online, and then also where they can get the book.
You can follow me at vtawesomeness.com. No, no, vtawesomeness on Twitter.
that should be a website, though.
Yeah,
you can follow me on Facebook. There is a Bernie's Mitten Maker page on Facebook, and there's also me on Facebook. You can follow me. I think I'm on Instagram at Jen Ellis Vermont. There is a Bernie's Mitten Maker website. You can always find me through Vermont Teddy Bear Factory. And through you guys. And if you want to buy the book and you want it like yesterday, you want it like right away, you should order it from Phoenix Books in Vermont, because they ship and they have plenty of copies, because they knew it was going to be a big thing.
I love that.
Amazon has finally ordered some, but I think they're going to sell out pretty fast. But you can order them from Amazon. You can try Barnes & Noble, but Barnes & Noble still trying to figure things out.
Sounds right.
I want people to order it from their local independent bookstore, but I recognize that not everyone has a local independent bookstore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are lots of different ways to get it, but if you try Phoenix Books online in Vermont, they have it.
Okay. We'll link to them in our bio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. This is like, I don't know if I've ever been like really sad for an interview to be over.
I know.
But
I'll come back anytime.
Yay.
You know, with my next book.
That's true. And yes, we will see you at some point on your wild, wild United States book tour this year. We will come to you if you're not in Chicago. And we will truly, like, we're not lying, the amount of times we have not joked, but like just playfully said, we really need to plan a trip to Vermont. It's
Vermont
truly between 50 and 200 times.
There are direct flights from Chicago to Burlington. You probably know that if you're coming to a wedding here.
No, we're flying. Oh my God. It's like a whole thing. We're like flying into LaGuardia and then we're driving up. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. My fiance and I are fighting, so it's fine. But I'm going. Is this Vermont? Like, if it wasn't Vermont,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd be there. But I'm going because I'm like, I need to get my feet into Vermont.
So, yes, you do.
Oh yeah. So we're very excited. But Jen, thank you from the bottom of our hearts and the bottoms of our mittens for coming back on. And you are a tremendous friend of the show. We love you so much. You're welcome to come back anytime. Congratulations on the book and everything you're doing. It's very inspiring. And we will have to catch up again really soon.
I bet we will. Thank you for having me back.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.